sound that you're hearing is Jess Amino, my motorcycle. When you hear that, you know it's mocha latte time. Search for the best mocha latte in the world is back and better than ever, as we're back on track this week as you get to meet Melissa, the owner of the wonderful La Taza Coffee House in Charlottesville, Virginia. One of a kind. I also give you a whirlwind update on what's been going on this past month of silence and the coffee scene from Memphis, Tennessee, and of course, a new music hit from Mod Dot, all coming up next. Hello and welcome to a long overdue search for the best mocha latte in the world. This is your host, Circus Boy Nathan, coming to you from, of course, the Flying Dutchman RV. This is my podcast where every week I take you to a different town with me on the road with the circus. That's right, the circus is my day job, but I have a passion for coffee. And each week I check out the local coffee scene of the town we're in, ride the motorcycle around, meet cool coffee people, and all kinds of fun stuff. You kind of know what you're going to get, but I try to throw in a few surprises there every week to make it fun and interesting and unexpected, like a black hole or something. So anyways, all right, enough of that. So it's been about a month since I last posted, and with good reason. I haven't been sitting around twiddling my thumbs in the Flying Dutchman, looking out the window at pretty birdies. No. I've actually been traveling quite a bit. I mean, of course, I've been working and playing, shows with the circus, which has been going well. We've had, actually, just this past week, I'm actually sitting in Aiken at the moment. We just finished up Aiken, South Carolina, and we just finished up our run of shows here. And we had sold-out houses almost every night, actually. So at 2,200 people a pop, an average of, what would we do this week, 6 shows. So that's, roughly, 13,100 or 200, I don't know. I was never good at addition. We always joke that we musicians are only taught to count to 4. Which is, in some cases, true. I never liked algebra. But any case, I'm drifting here from the topic. Yeah, so here in Aiken, South Carolina, good run of shows this week. The past month, man, to give you a brief rundown, well, before I do that, I'm going to get energy here because I've done a lot this past month. So I got my espresso here. It's a double espresso, a doppio, if you want to go with the quote, proper, I guess, nomenclature, but take a sip of it here. It's good. I have to say, my technique is improving slowly but surely. Been actually doing a lot of another one of the things besides traveling a lot over the past month, doing a lot of research and reading on coffee, all kinds of stuff, anything dealing with coffee. And I've been watching a lot of how-to videos and just tweaking a couple of my techniques and watching some baristas. But, so the rundown over the past month, last time I talked to you, was in Memphis, Tennessee. And what a crazy week that was. We were right downtown, and we had, I don't know if I talked about this on the last episode, we actually had an RV get hit by a city bus. That's right. Yeah, we always park in a parking lot, and sometimes they're downtown, sometimes they're a few miles away from the venue, so we have to travel to get to the venue we perform in. And that week in Memphis was we were parked right downtown across from the FedEx Forum there, and as it would so happen, there was a truck, I don't know if it was a tractor trailer pickup truck. It ran through a red light, and as a result, a city bus, and not just one of those regular buses, but one of those double long, I don't know if you're listening overseas, I don't know if you have these overseas, I don't think I've seen one when I've traveled, but they're pretty much the size of 2 buses, and they have this accordion thing in the middle. That's the joint where they connect. So it's, I don't know how many feet long it is, you know, maybe, I'm just guessing like maybe 50, 60 footer bus. And anyways, so this bus, in order to avoid hitting the truck that ran the red light, swerved. It jumped the curb and went through a wrought iron fence, plowed the fence down, and plowed smack into the back of one of the RVs on the circus lot, and pushed the RV about, oh, I'd say, a good 20 feet. And RVs aren't light. And there were people, and to top it off, there were people inside when this happened. And there were kids playing outside, and the kids saw the bus coming through the fence. It's something that I guess kind of catches your attention, I'm sure, and got out of the way just in time because the bus ended up resting right where the kids were playing. And yeah, so it was, thankfully everyone was okay. I think the bus was empty at the time, yeah, a lot of damage. Kind of one of those things that really shakes you up, because, you know, when you're parked in a lot and, you know, behind an iron fence, you never usually worry about traffic hitting your house, really. It's kind of unexpected. But, yeah, so that was Memphis. That was definitely the craziest thing that happened in Memphis. After that week, we had a break. I think it was like a week and a half off, maybe two weeks off. And so I took that break. By the way, I did drink a lot of coffee in Memphis. You'll hear in the coffee scene this week. Pretty eclectic coffee scene, I have to say, in Memphis. But you'll have to listen later in the podcast to hear that. Then we had a break, we went to Biloxi, Mississippi, which is down there on the coast, just an hour away from New Orleans, actually, which, while we were in Biloxi, I did a bit of riding. I took a nice 150-200 mile day trip down through Ocean Springs, Mississippi, down through Dauphin Island, Alabama. Took the ferry across the Gulf Shores, came up through Daphne, Fairhope, and back through Mobile, and then down back to Biloxi. Made a nice day. Got to visit a bunch of coffee shops. I think I set a record. I think my record before was 7 in one day. I think I tried 8 that day. So needless to say, I was making a lot of bathroom stops. And no, Circus Boy Nathan did not drink all 8, because that would be crazy, right? And I'm not crazy, I don't think. Well, maybe you can decide for yourself. But yeah, I usually only drink when I drink that many in a day, tasting them. My tongue obviously does get tired from tasting so many, but it's good. It's good experience and good practice, because it toughens the palate up. And the more I taste, the more educated my palate gets, and the better at tasting I get. So I always look for any opportunity to do that. But I digress. So yeah, Biloxi, and I took a day trip down to New Orleans to visit my good friends down there. Got to hang out with friends down there. Well, it was a fun night. I always like New Orleans. That's always a good time. French Quarter, and it's always a good time hanging out with friends. So anyways, then we had a break after that, and that's when I took a bike trip up to Tulsa. It was a good, I think, round trip, maybe 1,200 miles, somewhere around that on there. Very rainy trip up to Tulsa, but it was fun. Got to hang out in Tulsa for a week and try lots of good coffee. The Tulsa coffee scene is very, people in Tulsa are lucky people, whether they realize it or not. A lot of good coffee going on there, but I'll talk more about that later. And then we came back after the break. I spent the 4th of July in Tulsa as well. Good fireworks. 100th anniversary of Tulsa, too, as well. So anyways, yeah. Came back. We played Jackson, Mississippi. And after Jackson, we played Aiken, South Carolina this week. And on the way to Aiken, I went through Dothan and got a wheel chock for the motorcycle from Baxley Trailers. If any of you guys out there listening ride motorcycles and transport your bike via trailer or pickup truck, you know, the bed of your pickup truck, Man, I highly recommend Baxley trailers. They have this wheel chalk that is like second to none. But if you want to know more about it, just email me, because I think four or five guys on the show have them and they love them. And so I finally decided to spend the money, and it's worth the money. It's definitely worth the money. But anyways, so Dothan, then through Albany to visit some friends there that I haven't seen in a while, then up through Augusta, visit some friends there, and now I'm in Aiken, and I've been drinking coffee the whole time, so I'm getting to meet new people, new coffee people, make new connections. It's been really good. So I haven't been doing nothing. Is that a double negative? Perhaps it is. Maybe I've been drinking too much espresso today. But so that's pretty much, in a nutshell, been the past month. And there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. I mean, podcasting, I have to tell you, for anyone who's done it, I know I've said this before, podcasting takes quite a bit of time to put everything together. I mean, I could just sit down and talk, you know, for like 20 minutes, you know, once a week. But I'd rather have put something together, you know, that's, you know, put music between stuff and try to have good content to make it interesting for you, because, you know, I know if I were listening, I just wouldn't want to hear, you know, someone talk, you know, about whatever for, you know, for an hour straight. You know, I'd like to hear, you know, meet other people and travel places, and so that's kind of what I try to bring you, and good coffee, quality coffee information as well, you know, and along the way. So yeah, good stuff. And I also want to send a shout out to everyone who sent me emails over this past break. It's been great finding out, hearing from listeners around the world. That's really cool to think that, you know, someone in France listens to the podcast. I think that's awesome. I'm jealous that I'm not in France because of the fresh cheese and amazing wine that you guys got over there. But soon enough, I shall return to the land of vino, or was it vin? Something. Anyways, I'm going to get on with the podcast. You're probably nodding off by this point. Saying, what's wrong with Circus Boy? So, lots of good stuff coming up in the next coming months. I've been using this time off as planning, and I got a couple huge, huge bike trips planned. We have a couple breaks coming up. A couple bike trips planned for all around the country, actually. East Coast, West Coast. The circus is literally, we're traveling, I think in the next 2 or 3 months, we're literally traveling, I think, 5 or 6 thousand miles. We're in Aiken now, which is the eastern part of the country, and within a month, I'd say the end of August, we're going to be all the way out to Washington, near Seattle. So, yeah, a lot of miles, a lot of good coffee, a lot of good things coming up. But before I get to the coffee scene and all, telling you all about that exciting stuff coming up, I got the chance back in December to visit La Taza in Charlottesville. If you remember that podcast where I talk about, I think it was Williamsburg, Charlottesville, and Dave Matthews came out to the circus and came out to a show, so we got to perform for Dave Matthews, and that's always cool. And anyways, that week I got to try this amazing little cafe. Now, most cafes, you walk into them and it's kind of the cliche thing. They're either a franchise or they're like a Starbucks knockoff, which, you know, some people like that atmosphere. Great. More power to you. But, as many places that I have the opportunity to visit, I'm always looking for that something special, that attention to detail that shows me that the owner, when, you know, they not only take pride in their space that they created for people to, you know, enjoy the coffee and just, you know, communicate and, you know, hang out and with other people, but just that something special, that extra little, I don't know what you call it. I can't think of anything off the top of my head at the moment. But in Charlottesville, there was such a place, and this was La Taza. And when I first rode up, my first impression, it was great. It was a Saturday morning, Sunday morning. and it was a little bit cold in there. I had trouble finding the place. It was a little bit chilly, and I rolled up, and there was this great fire pit there with this great little fire. The smoke was just rising up in the morning sunlight, and there were umbrellas out, these beautiful orange kind of rust colored umbrellas over tables, and I walk in, and it was just almost like being instantly transported to somewhere else, you know, not central Virginia. And it was just great. I mean, the chairs, you know, were all beautiful mahogany wood with leather backing that had the Lataza logo, you know, blazoned on there or whatever, and, you know, just Latin music playing, and, you know, smiles behind the counter. You know, it just, and I went, you know, got to enjoy my drink outside. It was just a really great experience. And so I wanted to have you meet the person. Turns out her name is Melissa. And I wanted you to get to meet the person behind all this who came up with this. And you're going to get to meet her right now and hear a little bit about what got her started and why she does what she does so well with her cafe. So after this, I'll come back and give you the quick coffee scenes and wrap the podcast up for this week. Okay, so I'm here with Melissa from Lataza. Welcome to the podcast, Melissa.
Thank you, Nathan. Good to be here.
So we're sitting here today, and I'm in Biloxi, and Melissa's in Charlottesville at the cafe. In a nutshell, how would you describe your cafe, or do you consider it a coffee shop? How would you describe it?
Well, we say we're more than just a coffee shop. We actually have the coffee shop, we have a restaurant, and we have a bar. So, and it's a Latin influence, and I don't know, I guess that's how I describe it. We're very particular about our coffees, though, and most of my coffees come from Central and South America, and I try to look for the best coffees and rainforest certified coffees, and you know, just good blends.
Now you mentioned South and Central America. What was the original, inspiration, you could say, to start a coffee shop? Number one, and number two, to make it have a Latin flair to it.
I guess maybe it started in Key West. And, you know, just getting up in the morning and walking down to the little Cuban coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, I just love the whole atmosphere because, you know, you travel to a lot of coffee shops. And it's just a place where you can get into this big conversation with the locals and they can tell you, you can find out anything you ever need to know in a coffee shop. So I guess that was my original inspiration. And then we bought the building in Belmont. And just seemed like it needed a little coffee shop. And originally I was going to do more of a Cuban, just Cuban sandwiches and coffees. And then, you know, I started getting more into the quality of coffees and it expanded a little bit. And I traveled to Peru and Costa Rica, and then I just kind of infused all the Latin feel. They just have so much passion, and you know, they love their neighborhood, they love their music, they love their coffee, they love their food, and I don't know, it just seemed like it would work down here.
Yeah, that's one thing that really, that caught me about your shop, because like, and, you know, I was telling you, I've been to literally hundreds of coffee shops, but yours has something unique to it in that, you know, when I went, it was a Sunday morning before a show, and you had the fire. It was like it was in December, last December, and so it was kind of chilly outside, and you had the fire going out there, you know, and it was just, you know,
Did we give you a blanket? Sometimes we'll give blankets.
Oh, no, I didn't see it. We'll say that for next time. But it was really cool because, you know, just local people coming up with their dogs, or, you know, one gentleman was there with his daughter on the way to the circus, actually, and it was just really neat. And then you also have kind of like a, I don't know how to describe it, like a tiki bar, I guess, kind of on.
Yes. On, yeah. So proud of my tiki bar. It's fun.
Yeah, and so I mean, it's just, and obviously you paid a lot of attention to detail too. You know, like I noticed on the inside of the cafe with the chairs. You know, just even I think the leather the chairs are, if I remember correctly, they're leather backed, right?
And they have they're mahogany and leather. I had them made in Costa Rica. That was a whole nother story of me trying to find the furniture factories in Costa Rica. And but they special made all of them for me, as they do a lot of. I have several things like wooden bowls with lids that they've made for me, and I don't know. They're just such sweet people. That's why, you know, I wanted to celebrate it here a little bit.
And now, have you mentioned coffee and taking some trips? What kind of got you going down that road of, say, you know, specialty coffee and kind of really gaining an interest for, you know, for that area, really?
Well, I guess I went out to, when I decided to do coffee, I don't know, I always throw myself into everything. And just like when I decided to do Latin, I did these intensive courses on Spanish, and so... Then with the coffee, I went to Seattle. I was thinking, well, Seattle's the best place to find out about coffee. And I did all the barista training and went to the coffee fest. And then the, you know, the SCAA, the Specialty Coffee Association, and, you know, just studying. And I have a really good roaster, which I'm really fortunate to have a roaster that roasts my coffee twice a week. And he's as, you know, passionate about it as I am, so it's so easy to work with him on, you know, I'll just give him an idea and he'll go with it. So I guess just trying to go to the best source. And then after tasting a lot of coffees, I love the Latin coffees. Wow. I have some, you know, right now we're doing Guatemalan and Bolivian, and of course, we always have Colombian, and I don't know. I just think they have some of the best coffees. Every once in a while, we'll pull in a Kenyan coffee or, you know, something from another region. But for the most part, we've been real satisfied staying Latin.
That's really cool, because a lot of coffee shop owners don't take the step that you did in actually, you know, making a trip to origin or even going to Seattle for that matter, you know.
Right. But I've actually been to some of the plantations that we buy our coffee from.
Huh.
And like in Costa Rica, and, you know, I feel like they're my friends, and they enjoy sending their coffee to me, so it's just fun.
How did those trips change your perspective on what you serve in the cup and your place there?
I guess because it is such a labor-intensive business, and what goes into it is, it's got to be so much love, because there's no money for so many of the people in this industry, and they work so hard, and it's done by hand. And I guess probably the closest to any other kind of food source would be wine, maybe, as far as the, you know, the labor that's involved and the care and the, you know, all that goes into it. But that was probably what maybe changed my perspective more. It's just like, it made me love it even more on how much goes into the production of coffee. And even down to the roasting, it's such an art. And even, well, you know, because you go to so many coffee shops,
mm-hmm.
brewing and, you know, pulling your shots and steaming your milk, it's just something that everybody has to perfect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect cup of coffee.
Yeah. And once you learn about that as the consumer, it makes you appreciate that, you know, really amazing cup of coffee or that great shot of espresso all the more when you realize how many steps in the process have to be done correctly.
Right.
You know.
Right. And when one goes off, you can tell.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a definite appreciation for what you're doing, and there's just so much enjoyment with it. And you know, when I drive up and I see my patio full and I see my regular customers, and it does my heart so good.
Yeah, that's one thing I felt right away, like when I visited, even though it was like a Sunday morning, rather, it just, you know, there was a definite, there's nothing cliche. A lot of times I say when I visit cafes that, oh, this was another cliche coffee house, you know, because they just took, you know, they buy the usual coffee art from the catalog that say cappuccino and, you know, and have the, I guess, Starbucks-esque kind of environment. But
right.
But, I mean, I could definitely tell that you made a big effort to make everything, you know, unique and authentic and really create an environment. That's cool. How's the response been from Charlottesville there?
Charlottesville has been very supportive. I have, you know, I'm a neighborhood coffee shop, but I have people that come from all over to, you know, drink a cup of coffee or mm-hmm. visit or, you know, come to the tiki bar or whatever.
No, what, I'm sorry,
really,
go ahead.
I just say I've been really pleased with the feedback that I get.
Now, what made you choose Charlottesville? I mean, obviously it's a college town, but was that a big factor?
No, like I said, I wish I could say that I have this huge business plan and this big thought processes in my head, but I just kind of go from feelings, you know, it just feels right, so we'll do it, and we'll try this, if it doesn't work, then, you know, we'll do something else, and I don't know, it just felt right.
Uh-huh.
Just felt like Belmont is right off of downtown Charlottesville,
mm-hmm.
a really cute, unique little neighborhood that is transitioning, and there's just a lot of this, you know, so many talented people right in this little area, so you get a lot of good energy back, you know. I get a lot of good input back even from my customers. Hey, you ought to try this, or this would be cool, and say, okay. There's some things work, some things don't, you know.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, did you ever see yourself, I mean, say, I don't know, 5 years ago, ten years ago, did you ever set out to start a cafe? I mean, was that always a dream of yours, or was that something, mm-hmm. you had mentioned Key West and going there, was that something
yeah.
that, you know, Key West kind of flipped a switch and go, hey, you know, I could do this, was it that kind of thing?
Well, I don't know. I used to come to this area before it was developed, and, you know, my brother lived down the street, and so when we would walk down into this little village, there was nothing, absolutely nothing down here. And I'd say, you know, that is such a cute old place. It really needs something. And that was probably as big as my inspiration was. Build it and they will come.
That's right. Field of dreams, yes, yes. That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. Things just kind of transpired and came together, and, you know, I don't know if you were inside, you see that little loft area above my cash register.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember it, but when I was in Peru, all their houses are built on stilts, and when we would come up to one of the villages, everybody would come to their houses and look over, and so that's kind of that's my office up there.
Oh, okay.
So I can kind of look over everything when people come in.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice. Now, on the barista side of things, has it been a challenge? I know talking to a lot of cafe owners, one of the challenges they have is getting trained staff, number one, and then keeping them on. Has that been a challenge? You know, you had mentioned you're very committed to the quality of the coffee and the serving of it. Has that been a challenge for you to keep that quality up with your staff there?
It is. It's always, you know, labor is always a challenge, and finding people with a passion for the same things you do is a challenge too. And right now I have a good staff, and you know, we go through a training process, and I work with them pretty closely for a while, and then they take off on their own. But I don't know. Yeah, it is, and there is a lot of turnover. So just when you think you've got somebody and you devote a lot of time and money to training, then they're graduated and gone, or, you know, decided they wanted to go travel Europe for a month.
Right.
It's funny. My friends in Latin America just can't believe it. They they're like, people work for beach money. You know, they work to feed their families. So yeah, it is a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But I don't know, my employees like working here, so it's you know, it hasn't been too bad, but it's just, I don't know, they said it's like buying a house at the beach and then going out and sweeping all the sand off the beach, and then you wake up the next morning and all the sand's back on. It's when you think you've got it all under control, you know.
Yeah.
The wheels fall off. But,
wow.
But we're still here. This is our second anniversary. So.
Yeah, you guys just celebrated, right?
Yeah, we just celebrated our second birthday, so.
Yeah.
Proud of that fact.
Did you do anything special for that?
Broke a piñata and had tres leche cake and tiki bar specials and coffee specials and,
yeah. Now, what's your favorite coffee drink yourself?
My favorite coffee drink.
Maybe that's a loaded question.
Yeah. It changes from week to week, but I made this I can't drink too much of it. I try to watch myself, but I made this one drink with, I took ice cream and poured two hot shots of espresso on it, melted the ice, took it in a shaker, and poured it into a martini glass, and it is delicious. It is, yay.
Wow.
But I change it up a little bit. Sometimes I'll put some Bailey's or Kahlua, but it's great.
Wow.
But as far as just drinking every day, I like Guatemalan coffee. I'll drink, I don't know, 10 cups of Guatemalan coffee. I also like just a macchiato.
Uh-huh.
I'll drink espresso, but, you know, I drink so much coffee that I cut it a little bit. But, probably a macchiato. Mochas, lattes with a little bit of vanilla. I can go the gamut.
Yeah. Basically, Basically anything with coffee in it, pretty much.
That's right. If it has coffee, I'll drink it.
Nice. Well, great. Well, thanks so much. Are you planning any more? I know you had mentioned Guatemala, I think, as a trip to origin coming up.
Right. We want to go to Guatemala in October and November, and we're focusing on Guatemalan for the next couple of months. I was going to try to take a Latin country every month, but oh my gosh, I did so much research and there's so much to know about each country that.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to do it one a quarter, but yes, we want to go to some coffee plantations in Guatemala and go to El Dia de los Muertos and the Kite Festival and see what all Guatemala has to offer.
Hmm.
And then our next quarter, I think we'll do Costa Rica.
Wow, that'll be great. So tell people, if they want to come visit your shop, which I personally highly recommend, because it's, like I said, it's very unique amongst coffee shops. How would they find you guys?
Okay. We are at 407 Monticello Road, and we're a little hard to find. We're a little off the beaten path, but I don't know, I could give exact directions, but it'd be hard to know which way they're coming from, but it's worth it.
Yeah, I'd recommend anybody out there listening around the world, I'd recommend just go to Google Earth, which is what I use to find a lot of the places. And if you look, you can either type in a search for La Taza, or just it's east of downtown, basically, on a little triangle-shaped kind of corner, if I remember correctly there. And it's just there's a lot of the thing confused me was a lot of one-way roads, but you'll find it eventually.
Right, you might drive around for a couple of minutes, but you'll find us.
Yeah, and look for I think it was a red roof, kind of with a wood, is that right, exterior?
Yeah, it's red, and the exterior is kind of a green color. It has orange umbrellas out front, tiki bar.
Okay, oh, great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a real treat just to get to sit down and find out about your cafe, and I hope people listening will take a trip there through Charlottesville. And Charlottesville, if you don't know, it's right kind of, I guess almost smack dab in the middle of state of Virginia. It's east of the Blue Ridge Mountains there and the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah,
it's only, what, maybe an hour from Richmond, I think. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's about an hour.
About maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours from D.C., I think.
Right.
Yeah.
You got it, Nathan.
Cool.
You've been here.
Well, I lived in Williamsburg for a little while, so it's a bit of my old stomping grounds up there. But yeah. Well, great. Well, thanks so much, and best of luck with the cafe in the future.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for having me on.
Alright, welcome back. So I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to jump right into the coffee scene for this week because I want to get this podcast finished and cut so it's not too long for you. I have a tendency to make these ones after a jump to be a little long. So I'm going to jump right in. Memphis, Tennessee. Now, as I said, Memphis, Tennessee, it was an interesting coffee scene, kind of eclectic, I guess. You have a couple different areas. I mean, you have Beale Street, which is right downtown. And that's where, you know, kind of where a lot of the barbecue places and like BB King's Blues is down there. So there wasn't too much coffee downtown, which I was surprised. But then at different places out around, kind of as the city sprawls out, I guess you could say, there were a few places. The first I reviewed, visited was Java Cabana, or Cabana, however you want to say it. And it's in the Cooper Young section, and there's a lot of good eateries and stuff, and it's as far as I know the only coffee house in that little Cooper Young section of Midtown Memphis. And the place itself used to be an old I guess kind of half coffee house, half wedding chapel. And it wasn't just a regular wedding chapel, it was a Elvis wedding chapel, so you could get married by Elvis or have an Elvis impersonator there or something like that. And then someone bought it in the late 90s and turned it into a full-fledged coffee house. And great music the night I was there. They had jazz. The local jazz professor from the college was doing a solo bass thing, and just really good stuff and really laid back kind of atmosphere. Not pretentious at all. They had like a rack of vintage clothes for sale. The couch that I sat on was one of those ones that still had the plastic on it from like your aunt's house, you know, where they would keep the plastic on the furniture. But they had, you know, a couple regular like diner tables too, from the 50s. So kind of very eccentric, eclectic kind of atmosphere. So a very nice place to sit and just chat. They had board games everywhere. So now the coffee, on the other hand, wasn't so good. I wrote here, a rather disappointing drink, auto whipped cream, blah, almost terrible espresso. They boast using Seattle's best, which is pretty yucky. Chocolate seemed mediocre at best. Maybe the bad espresso brought it down, but, they did use in-house cups. So I gave that drink two beans for the Java Cabana. Next up is High Point Coffee. Now, High Point Coffee there is kind of a local franchise chain. I believe there's like three or four of them in the Memphis area. And I visited the one on Union, and it's kind of a cliche kind of coffee house. It's maybe not as, you know, they have local artwork on the walls, the normal color schemes that you kind of put with a cliche kind of coffee house. So nice atmosphere, smile behind, you know, the coffee bar there. But the drink, on the other hand, I wrote, this drink was pretty close to a disaster. Served auto-to-go cup, very loose foam, subpar espresso, and average chocolate. I wouldn't drink again. So I gave that drink 1.8 beans. Next up is Crema Cafe. And this place was in a little shopping center, kind of more on the outskirts of Memphis. And kind of like a boutique little place. They do sell whole bean coffee, and they have a couple coffee machines. They had they also do tea as well. So a very nice gentleman behind the counter. But as far as the espresso and coffee that they're serving, and I wasn't too excited about that. I wrote on the drink, nothing special here on the mocha. Served auto-to-go cup, powdered chocolate, weak espresso, barely any foam, more of a watery hot chocolate with the chalky aftertaste, really. Wouldn't drink again, so 2.3 beans there. And that it wasn't a sit-down place. It was just more of a store, kind of a grab-and-go in a little strip mall kind of area there. Next up is Quetzal. Now, this is located literally across the street from Sun Studio. And for those of you who don't know, Sun Studio is the famous place where, like, Elvis, Johnny Cash, I think it was Jerry Lee Lewis, all those guys got their start there at Sun Studio, and you can take tours there now, as a matter of fact. And if you do go to Sun Studio, make your way across the street to Quetzal. It's kind of, it's funny because the building, it looks like it was an old warehouse, and from the look at it, from the front and the back, you have to do a double take because it's bricks, and there's some grown up plants around it. And at first look, you wouldn't think it's anything that you'd want to visit, but you go in, and it's a very chic, kind of upscale environment. The music was a little pedantic. They had like this really cheesy, like, Latin jazz muzak on, which I have to say, you know, being a musician, I know some people that doesn't bother them, but it was, being a musician, I mean, you could at least turn it to, like, satellite radio, like the XM Cafe channel or something. It's a little better than the coffee house channel or something. It's a little better than Latin muzak on there. But the environment was pretty cool. They had a pool table in there, lots of free Wi-Fi, kind of swanky bar, actually. You have a place on one side where you order your food, and then they have a bar in the middle, which is, like I said, kind of swanky, I guess is the best way to put it. And kind of one of those places I would imagine on the West Coast, say like LA, where they would have those, quote, power lunches or whatever you want to call them. Definitely that kind of vibe to the place. But they do have couches where you can kind of up in another little room where the pool table is. Very open air with skylights, and you know, you can definitely write there, have a kind of a quiet nook there. So as far as the drinks, I wrote here that and also they haven't updated their site in a while, so if you go to their website, it's best to call and get the updated information, because I found out the website's not too accurate at the moment. The drink, I wrote, this drink left me confused. I didn't know what it was. It was served in-house cup. They asked on whipped cream, a decent shot of espresso, but foam was a little loose, and I could hardly taste the chocolate because there was two or three other flavors in there, so it wasn't really a strong mocha. It was a mocha with something else. It wasn't, you know, something that stood out as a mocha. I think they should have named it another drink. So I still give it 3.7 beans on that. Next up is Otherlands Coffee. Now this place is kind of down the street from that Java Cabana that I told you about earlier, and this also is a very eclectic place. and stands out. They have definitely independent, they really push the indie feel, independent part of the coffee house. You know, great vibe. Some, you know, couches, some regular chairs and tables. They got a little corner with toys for the kids, you know, so it's a family-friendly kind of place. You definitely wouldn't feel out of place bringing your kids there. And they have free Wi-Fi as well, so, you know, just very nice, comfortable, open-air kind of atmosphere. Now, the drink, it was great. I wrote here, one of the better mochas I've had in a long time. Served in-house cup, nice foam, no latte art though. Great espresso shot shining through the great milk and their in-house chocolate syrup. This would be worth a special trip to Memphis. So 4.8 beans on that. So yeah, it was a great drink. And like I said, I asked about the chocolate, and sure enough, they make their own chocolate in-house. I don't know what combination, you know, they use for that, but that's exactly what I'm looking for in my quest for the search for the best mocha latte in the world, is someplace that does that, takes the extra step, because to me, that says that they pay attention to quality, and usually everything else in the shop follows suit. So, one more left from Memphis, and then we'll wrap it up. Cafe Francisco. Now, this shop has a lot of character, and especially a lot of West Coast character. And it was opened by a San Francisco transplant, because there's actually another cafe in San Francisco of the same name. And so this is its sister cafe, or brother, or stepbrother's cafe, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And lady behind the counter, I think she was the owner, very nice. And it's one of those cafes where you sit and you have like a, you know it's like they have a random old piano that the owner bought down in Monroe at a garage sale in Monroe, Louisiana. And then you have this couch, and then there's like a picture of like a velvet Elvis, and then you look across the room, and there's this beautiful vintage poster for an espresso, that one that says Vittoria that we I'm sure you've seen. To then you have like signed pictures by who was it, like Samuel Jackson or something. I don't know. It was very, very cool kind of feel though, very laid back. They had hardwood floors with kind of random lighting. Is definitely older building, antique vintage kind of feel to that place. So I wrote about the mocha. Nothing that I was not quite what I was expecting. Kind of disappointed with the drink. It was served in house cup, but had auto whipped cream, okay chocolate, but really weak espresso, so I wouldn't drink again. 3.2 beans, and that wraps it up for Memphis. Now I have a couple more towns, but I'm gonna push them to another episode because I don't want this to run too long. I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Upcoming events, exciting, really exciting stuff. If you remember, Karen Eland from the Espresso Artist Extraordinaire from a couple episodes back. Well, she is, as it happens to be, is in Cambodia. Right when I'm talking right now, at this very moment, she is in Cambodia. That's right, over by China and Thailand and that part of the world. And been emailing, talking with her, and she has been drinking coffee while she's been over there, and she is going to grace us with her presence on the podcast and give us kind of a experience, her coffee experience in Cambodia. So I'm really looking forward to that, and you have to stay tuned future episodes to check that out. Also, I'm going to have an interview with Andy, who is the circus's lead truck driver, and he was telling me the other day he's literally been driving semi-trucks for, what, maybe 20-plus years, and he's driven, I think he said, over 2 or 3 million miles in that time in his truck. So he's seen a lot of stuff and drank a lot of coffee, a lot of trucker coffee. So he's going to have some good stories with him. Also, I have a couple product reviews. I've had some people ask me, Nathan, you know, what do you think about this? Or, you know, what would you recommend for this? And obviously, as I travel, I do get to see a lot of different stuff in different areas of the country and just kind of things that are popular and happening at the moment. So I actually have one right here that I'm going to been trying out. It's a travel mug but it's a French press travel mug, but I'm not going to give it away, so I'm going to put that. So product reviews on future episodes, and I have, as I said earlier, a couple epic bike trips coming up. I have one that I'm actually leaving for tomorrow, and I don't know how many miles. I've lost track of miles on this one because I keep adding destinations, but I'm riding from South Carolina up to Pennsylvania, then visit my folks, swing by Philly, then Baltimore, D.C., Williamsburg, Virginia, and then back to South Carolina, all within a two-week time frame. And I'm going to be drinking coffee, trying out some of the best coffee shops on the East Coast, and of course I'm going to take you there. You're all going to come with me. So real exciting stuff. Just think, you know, I said epic, so think like Odysseus on a Ducati. There, you have my little picture. You can picture it, so you'll be there. But yeah, good stuff. So stay tuned, and as always, if you want to leave feedback, I always love hearing from people what you're doing with coffee, or what, you know, say, Nathan, I visited this great place this week. You got to check it out. You can reach me at bestmochalatte@gmail.com, and that's the email for this podcast. And you can also, I always put a picture and a little blurb about each episode up at bestmochalatte.podomatic.com. And if you go to that website, you can see all the past episodes and pictures of the people that I interviewed and all that fun stuff. And also, last but not least, I want to thank Blueberry Network for letting the podcast be part of their cool network there. There's a lot of good other podcasts there on the Blueberry Network. And also, last but not least, the survey from the last podcast. Remember, if you listen back, I made a coffee bet with my dad. Now, I've had that survey up on a couple of my websites for, well, it's been a while now, and I've only had, like, I think 21 hits, and that's actually kind of sad for, because I know how many people download, you know, I get a report on downloads for the podcast, and that's just, it's a shameful few amount of people didn't take the time to just, you know, click your fingers for a few moments over there on the survey. But I'm going to have my dad on in person on the next podcast, and you're going to find out who wins, him or me, and whether I have to pay up to him or he has to pay to me. So that's coming up on the next podcast as well. And of course, last but not least, a new song from Mod Dog. Mod Dog's one of my fellow musicians on the show, on the circus here, and he brings us new music every week. And the music this week he calls Coffeeville Road. When we're coming south from Memphis to Jackson, there's an exit called Coffeeville Road, as it happens to be. So this is a new music exclusive from him, never heard anywhere else before. And that wraps it up for this week. So thanks for listening, and as always, drink what you like and like what you drink. Take care. Bye. Thank you.